Our next case is 12-1589 and 12-1592, Panther 2 Transportation Incorporated versus the Village of Seville Board of Income Tax Review. For the appellant, Ms. Bickerstaff.
Madam Chief Justice, members of the court, good morning. I would like to reserve 3 minutes of the allotted time for rebuttal, sharing the remaining time with counsel for the co-appellant, Ted Lasiak. I'll speak for about 8 minutes and Mr. Lasiak for about 4 minutes. The issue in this case deals with a municipality's authority to levy an income tax. This is a home rule case. Specifically, the issue is whether revised code section 492125 expressly preempts a municipality's net profit income tax, as that tax is levied on the income earned by Panther and all other motor transportation companies defined under Chapter 4921. Because the Court of Appeals' decision found that statute 492125 to be an express statutory provision, that decision must be reversed. Panther's argument boils down to two things. One, that Seville and every other Ohio municipality's income tax ordinance is in conflict with the general law. The PUCO's statewide regulatory scheme dealing with the licensing and regulation of motor transportation companies. According to Panther, because a conflict exists, the municipal ordinances are invalid under the second prong of the Home Rule Amendment. And two, that the word taxes in 492125 means all taxes of whatever nature except the general property tax. A conflict analysis, however, is completely irrelevant here since the issue does not deal with a municipality's policing power, but rather its taxing power, an exercise of local self-government that is not limited under the Home Rule Amendment. This court just recently reaffirmed that fact in Gessler versus City of Worthington Income Tax Board of Appeals. As to the word taxes, words, of course, have different meanings depending on the context in which they are used. Both Panther and the Ninth District's entire analysis is wrong since both completely ignore the fact that there is a clear distinction between a license fee or tax that's exacted in the exercise of police power in regulating a matter versus a tax that's levied under taxing power. Both Panther and the Ninth District also err by inserting the word all before the word taxes in 492125. The statute simply doesn't read in that fashion. There is no dispute that Chapter 4921 deals with the licensing, registering, and regulation of motor transportation companies. At issue here is the proper interpretation of Section 492125 and its related provision, 492118. 18 essentially states that motor transportation companies that have been issued an operating permit from the PUCO are required to pay annually a tax on each vehicle used by it that is registering under its PUCO operating license. 2125 provides that once that fee or charge is paid and on compliance with other provisions, no municipality may levy a similar type license or registration fee or tax. The General Assembly only intended to prevent municipal requirements dealing with licensing, registering, and regulation. Before the tax years at issue here, Panther paid a municipal net profits tax in every jurisdiction where it conducted business that levied a local income tax. Panther merely stumbled upon these statutes and have been, quite frankly, trying to use them to its advantage.
Counsel, if I could stop you there, are you saying that the municipal net profit tax is not within that section that you just quoted?
Yes, it is not.
It's not. It's not covered by the PUCO regulation. It seems that the companies, if they're following the state law and they're looking at the regulation under the Title 49, that you know they're potentially working in all of these various municipalities And if they pay their state fees and licenses, that should be enough. But you're saying that the municipal net profit tax should be allowed on top of that for these companies that are statewide?
Yes, what I'm saying is that there's a difference between a regulatory tax that has to be paid by a company versus a tax that is levied on the income earned by that company.
So in your view, then every municipality or every entity that could be considered self-government should be able to create a tax on net profits in addition to what they're paying statewide as motor carriers?
A general revenue tax, yes, that is correct, because there is no state law prohibiting such. Under 718.
Is there a credit given?
I'm sorry?
Is there a set off or a credit given for this? It is a double taxation. You would agree with that? You're taxing the same pot of money that is referenced in the statute, correct?
The statute only relates to a regulatory tax. So under Title 49, the only thing that Panther is paying is $30 or $20 per vehicle, depending on whatever type of vehicle it's using.
To whom?
To the PUCO. It's a registration fee.
Okay. And then doesn't it say that taxes or other money exactions except the general property tax are illegal and superseded? Is that not what the Court of Appeals said here?
That is what the Court of Appeals said. However, the Court of Appeals was incorrect in saying such. If we look
at... If we can stay with that, I'm over here. If we can stay with that for a minute. I'm looking at the statute, which is 49-21-25. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yes.
But the statute says any other taxes or other money extractions, interesting choice of words, I would say, a money extraction, is illegal.
Yes.
How do you get around that word illegal?
Well, first we have to look at the list of items that are included in the statute. The all fees, license fees, payments, the first or before the word taxes is used in its regular disjunctive sense. The second or, taxes or other money exactions, those are read together. And an exaction is not a fee on revenue, but
what is an exaction?
An exaction can be a number of different things, just like the word tax can be defined in a number of different ways. An exaction can be a fee for a benefit that is received. An exaction can be an illegal taking of funds. So it depends on the situation in which the word is being used. In this instance, the phrase taxes or other money exactions is referring to a regulatory tax. Any type of regulatory or license tax, along with everything else that's listed in...
Mustn't we assume the General Assembly knew what they were doing when they came up with these words? And if they wanted to come up with your definition, they would have put it in there?
Generally, I would agree with the court, but at this time, we have to recall that both of the statutes here, 21-18 and 25, were enacted as part of the Ohio Motor Transportation Act in 1923. No municipality in Ohio, or anywhere in the country for that matter, had a income tax at that time. So if the General Assembly could not have included or meant to include a net profits tax because no such tax existed. Also, if we look at the preamble...
Has it not been amended since that time in any way?
No, that this particular statute has not. There last year, as a matter of fact, since this case has been pending, there was a wholesale revision of Chapter 4921, and it was simply reorganizing and things of that nature. But as to this particular statute, which is now the current 4921J, it has remained substantially the same. I think one word...
4921J?
That's the current version. We're looking at... the former 49-21-25, it has been part of a reorganization of Chapter 49-21, and it now appears as the current 49-21-19J. But other than that reorganization and the removal of one word, fees and charges, and inserting in taxes, there has been no change as far as preempting.
Right, there has been no change, which suggests that they looked at it and decided not to change it, even knowing in this when it was reorganized that now there are such things as municipal income taxes.
Or I believe that the General Assembly made no changes simply because the language in the statute itself is clear.
Well, was the General Assembly aware of what Seville was charging?
I can't honestly say that, no.
What you can say is, depending on the outcome of the decision of this court, they might change it.
They possibly may change it.
That was. You don't have to answer that question.
But we hope not.
Want you to address this question for me, however.
Sure.
I think it's your view that Seville could not impose a licensing regulation on Panther's vehicles.
Exactly.
That's your point.
Exactly.
But because Panther is headquartered or housed in the village of Seville, it has imposed a income tax on Panther's operation, a net profits tax.
It's imposed a tax on the income it earns.
And that, in your view, is not in conflict with the licensing regulation of the PUCO and is authorized by the statutes that are applicable.
That is absolutely correct. And this court has noted several times what is necessary to preempt a municipal net profits tax, an express statutory provision. Because the statute here is not an express statutory provision, we would request that this court reverse the Ninth District's decision.
Counsel, how are the mechanics of this on these companies? I assume this is not the only company from which municipal income tax is being collected, is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's not on their net income corporate-wide, it's on their net income as it relates to the activities
conducted within the particular municipality.
So there's a formula to break it out community by community, just like baseball players who travel the country pay Cleveland income tax when they come play a game in Cleveland, right?
That's correct. It is a portion. It's not upon every municipality is not taxing total net profits of the particular entity, but only the portion of the net profits attributable to activities within that taxing jurisdiction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, at this point, I think we need to reserve the remainder of our time.
It's fine with me. Thank you. Mr. Lang.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Jim Lang on behalf of Panther II Transportation. Your Honors, there is no factual dispute in this case as to the application of Revised Code Section 492125. The issue for this court is the legal question of whether the plain language of that statute bars the imposition of Seville's net profits tax on
Panther. Let me ask you this. Does your client pay the commercial activities tax?
Yes, Your Honor. Panther pays many taxes. They pay taxes that are specific to them as a motor transportation company. They pay fuel taxes, property taxes, many statewide taxes.
Right, as we all do.
Yes, and so Panther, as a motor transportation company, there's no dispute in the record that they are a motor transportation company, that they're regulated by the PUCO, that they're subject to the provisions of Chapter 4921.
What specific language takes out the local municipal income tax versus the commercial activities tax of the state, for example? Mm-hmm.
Well, in 492125, Your Honor, there's really three parts of that statute. But first it says state taxes apply to motor transportation companies. And then it says but, and it's a big but. It says local taxes, fees, charges, license fees, license taxes, annual payments, other money exactions, whatever form the local governments want to put it into, whatever you call it, those are illegal and superseded by the PUCO statewide authority.
Isn't it equally fair to assume, as Justice O'Donnell has pointed out, that that was probably aimed at not having to have, once you buy the tag that you put on your vehicle and renew it annually with the state and pay those fees and pay, whether it's to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles or to the Public Utilities Commission, that the locals can't say, well, if you're going to drive your commercial vehicle through our town, you've got to have our stamp on your vehicle or on your license plate as well.
Well, and that's why it's important, Your Honor, that the General Assembly went essentially belt and suspenders with 492125. They refer specifically to any, all taxes and money exactions are illegal, and then went further in that statute to say, in addition to that, all local ordinances.
But your client had been paying this, right?
They did pay it for a few years until their accountant pointed out to them.
And as far as you know, everybody
be.
Else is paying this too.
Oh, right? No, Your Honor. No, Your Honor. And it, actually, if you look at the amicus briefs that were filed by UPS and Conway, they specifically say municipalities have come to them, other municipalities, and said, you should pay this. And they've said, we don't have to pay it under 492125. And so other municipalities have approached trucking companies and at least, the big operators, UPS in particular, has pointed to 492125, had said, we're exempt from your local tax because that's what the statute plainly says.
Well, UPS isn't the only company running trucks through Cleveland or Cincinnati or Columbus.
Oh, certainly not, Your Honor.
And nobody's paying this except your client.
Certainly, there's no evidence in the record of any other municipality that is collecting this tax from a trucking company.
Okay, but the industry.
Yes.
Are they or aren't they paying it? She says they are.
Right. They are not. And you do have in
so how do we know?
Right. In Seville, Panther was the only motor transportation company in Seville. And so in Seville, for the years at issue, 2005 and 2006, they were getting 100% compliance. UPS does point out in their amicus brief that the city of Cleveland had actually approached them, which is the CCA, and had decided, after being cited to 492125, that the Cleveland net profits tax does not apply to motor transportation companies. Properly, I should say. It's only in this case, only with regard to Seville, and Your Honor, the issue is that because Panther paid the tax for these years at issue, had it pointed out to them that they shouldn't be doing that because there was an exemption under state law, requested a refund, that's why this became an issue.
Counsel, you mentioned at the beginning that there were three parts to Section 25, and you mentioned the first part being the state taxes due, secondly, local taxes don't. What was the third part of that statute?
The third part, Your Honor, goes beyond the tax provisions and says, any ordinance that a municipality may attempt to impose on a motor transportation company shall have no effect as that motor transportation company. There's one carve out, which is for reasonable local police regulations, provided they are consistent with the PUCO's regulatory authority.
So is that a real question, whether the net income tax falls in that third part, that exemption, as whether it's a police power that we're talking about here?
And Your Honor, we don't believe so, and in fact, you'll also see in the CCA's briefs that they do not believe so, because they've been clear, and this court was clear last month in the Gessler decision, that what we're talking about is not police power regulation, it's power of local self-government. So, you know, what we're talking about in police power is those other things, as the issues that Justice O'Donnell mentioned earlier about, you know, looking at, you know, weights of trucks or driving on particular roads, restrictions on driving particular roads. Those are police power, the types of police power regulations that
you're thinking about. So because local self-government would include the power to tax, the net income, you're saying this falls within the second part of the statute that really is the prohibition against your company, or the prohibition requiring your company to pay.
And in fact, Your Honor, we think it actually is belt and suspenders picked up in both provisions. It's picked up in the provision that says all taxes are illegal. It's also picked up in the provision that says local statutes shall not be applied to motor transportation companies except in a specific area. You have essentially two carve-outs in that statute for the local police regulations and for the local property taxes. There's no dispute that we're talking about is not one of those, doesn't fit into either one of those carve-outs, and therefore, we're done.
Mr. Lang, you said that this case was prompted by your request for the $161,000 refund.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Did I understand you correctly that this tax is not being, is not being collected by the City of Cleveland?
That is according to the amicus brief submitted by UPS. Yes, Your Honor.
Oh, I see. So from the information you got in that brief.
Correct.
But if you look at the Trucking Association's brief, there's no reference that this is being collected anyplace else. In fact, their argument is that this is not a great general or public interest because it doesn't affect anybody besides you and your client in the village of Seville. I would imagine that if this was something that was being that was present across the state, and it is contrary to what UPS is saying in their briefs, we'd hear about it in the Trucking Association's amicus.
And I think that's correct, Your Honor. I believe that certainly if this court were to reverse the Court of Appeals, I think in that instance it would become a matter of great general interest, because then
it would be a legislative, policy decision that the trucking industry and the municipal corporations mm-hmm. and would all go across the street and do what they do.
Right. And absolutely the reverse.
But it's also the potential for the same legislative fix here. If what we say, if we affirm the Ninth District, there's nothing to stop the Ohio Municipal League or, taxing authorities to do the same thing and change the statute.
Yes, Your Honor, but as we stand now, the status quo is just this refund issue between Panther and Seville. It's not a larger state issue. A reversal of the Court of Appeals opens up that can of worms.
Counsel, if I may be clear in your answer to the
yes,
chief,
Your Honor.
This is a singular issue between the village of Seville and Panther. To your knowledge, it's not happening anywhere else.
It's not in the record. I know of one other trucking company in I think it's Columbiana County that has had a similar issue with the municipality. The one thing I think is important to point out with regard to council's discussion of the conflict here and whether this is a conflict issue, we actually agree it's not a conflict issue, because the Seville tax ordinance specifically exempts from taxation net profits, the taxation of which is prohibited by any act of the General Assembly. So there's specific language in there that's actually the Panthers supplement, page 53, has this specific exemption. If there's any revised code provision that provides for an exemption, then under Seville's tax ordinance, that is exempted. Obviously, in this case, you have Seville's imposition of tax on Panther as a motor transportation company, prohibited by an act of the General Assembly.
How long has Panther been paying these taxes? I mean, it's a company that's been located in Seville for many years, correct?
Correct. I think. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm not sure of the exact years. I know that they did pay it for. They had also paid it for several years prior to the 2 years at issue, 2005 and 2006.
So there's money that's left on the table, so to speak, that they're not going to be able to get back because the time to amend and receive a refund has passed.
Correct.
So it's something that and this is a 2 year. This is 2 years worth of tax. The 161.
Correct.
Counsel, so I'm clear about the activity that's being taxed here. Panther has facilities in Seville, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, they have their headquarters.
So are we talking about not just the commercial carrier activities, but is there a dispute about the secretary or the dispatcher or the administrative officer's compensation being subject to the tax?
No, Your Honor.
So it's strictly the corporate side, the trucking activities?
Correct, Your Honor. It's specifically...
Now, the briefs go back and forth in different interpretations of what this court meant in Cincinnati Bell, and you have not discussed that. There's an argument on one side that to exempt municipal income taxes, the legislature has to say specifically we mean to exempt from taxation or your industry from taxation. And the statute you're talking about doesn't make a specific reference to municipal income tax. So one side argues it has to be specifically mentioned. The other side says no. It's not necessary in looking at Cincinnati Bell. So what's your take on said there?
Our take, and obviously the Court of Appeals take and the Board of Tax Appeals take, and even going back to the Clark County Court of Appeals in 1950, is you look at the statute. The statute says all taxes imposed by a municipality or other local subdivision are illegal and superseded by the PUCO's statewide regulatory authority. I think that's certainly... You know, if you're looking for express preemption, you can't get more express than saying all taxes are illegal. Does it say all income taxes are illegal? It does not. It doesn't need to because it says all taxes
are illegal. Is there any other industry that is so protected from local income tax?
Your Honor, I'm not sure. The certainly other utilities have been subject to other taxing schemes. Different deregulation activities has changed a lot of that for the electric industry, the gas industry, the telephone industry.
We don't know if any of the electric companies or utility companies don't have to pay local income tax on their corporate profits.
I do not. Okay. I believe the same provision does apply to railroads because railroads and trucking companies are always kind of treated together in Ohio law. And
it seems to me that there could be, if I understood Ms. Bickerstaff's argument, the exception in 49-21-25, which says, as you point out, all fees, license taxes or taxes. But then it says, except those exacted by local authorities such as municipal corporations or townships are illegal. And I think if I understood her argument, she's saying that there's an exception for those exacted by local authorities such as a village of Seville. What's your argument? What's your response to that argument?
And Your Honor, I think her argument is, despite the plain language of the statute, that when it says taxes, it really doesn't mean taxes. It means only taxes that are focused on regulatory issues. And we simply don't think that's a reasonable interpretation of the statute. Obviously, the Court of Appeals did not see that as a reasonable interpretation of the statute. Because if you look in the statute, you know, there's a list of what you can see of the General Assembly seeing as, you know, when they adopted this statute and then, you know, recodified it in 1953 and then recodified it again just last year. You know, it's an all-encompassing list. It's fees, it's taxes, it's both regulatory, because it talks about license fees, it talks about license taxes, but it also talks about other fees, other taxes, annual payments, other money exactions. You know, any way that a municipality could try to interfere with the statewide regulation is deemed to be illegal and superseded by the commission authority.
Okay.
So, Your Honors, Panther asked that the that this court affirm the Court of Appeals decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lesiak.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court, I'm Ted Lesiak. I'm the solicitor for the Village of Seville. Just to address some of the questions that were asked previously, in the tax years in question, 2005-2006, in fact, the Village of Seville did have another motor transportation company, which was Schneider Trucking, within the village, and they were subject to this tax. Also, I believe that council is incorrect with regard to the City of Cleveland's policy. However, I'm not involved with the City of Cleveland, but my co-counsel is. This is a home rule.
What are you saying? Cleveland collects an income tax
according
on the corporate... The corporate trucking companies who are...
That's correct, Your Honor. According to CCA, who collects the tax for the City of Cleveland, motor transportation companies are subject to net profits tax. Now, the issue really here is, what is the definition of taxes in this particular section of 492125? I think the key here is the Tomasik case, as to how this is interpreted. And what that says is the question is what is the meaning of what is enacted? When you look at what was enacted in 1923 with regard to this PUCO regulation and look at the entire act, you will see that it's a regulatory act. And it goes to specific taxing of motor-propelled vehicles owned by a motor transportation company. Now, that's when you interpret this particular term tax, that's the tax they're talking about. And to enlighten the situation here, it has to be expressed to accept this type of tax. Now, at the time that this was enacted, there was no municipal income tax in the state of Ohio. Now, specifically, municipal income tax of any kind, net profits tax, was not only not in existence, but it was illegal. It was found to be unconstitutional in 1919.
Counsel, I'm glad you brought that up, because I keep hearing the word net profit tax and income tax being used interchangeably. Are they?
Well, I believe they are with regard to our ordinance, because an entity that produces a profit is subject to our net profits tax, whereas an individual is subject to income
tax. So we're not talking about the drivers who are driving the trucks out of Seville?
No, we are not. We are talking about the profit of the entity itself, when that would be Panther.
Could you comment on the Cincinnati Bell case as you see how it provides some guidance to the decision we have to make here?
Yes, Your Honor. Cincinnati Bell obviously says that in order to exempt Panther or from this tax, there must be an express provision in the state statute specifically exempting them. Now, if you look at 718.01 of the revised code, you will see that it is illegal for the Village of Seville not to charge a net profits tax to any entity under their local ordinance, with various exceptions. Now, after Cincinnati Bell came about, the legislature went back and amended that particular section, and they also enacted section 715.013 of the revised code, which put in specific exemptions from municipal income tax and municipal net profits tax. And to answer one of the questions that was raised before, Revised Code Section 715.013 specifically exempts electric and telephone companies, which are also PUCO regulated companies, from net profits tax. Clearly, it does not say anything about motor transportation companies. I believe that my time is up here, and so we are requesting that the judgment of the Ninth District Court of Appeals and the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals be reversed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decisions. Marshall, will you call a recess, please?